Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Glad you could be here. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to be moderating today's webinar on security, compliance, and contact strategies to scale home-based agents during COVID-19. Navigating at-home agents, security, and compliance strategies is hard enough, even without coronavirus being so prevalent. In this webinar today, we're here to discuss the core contact and collector system strategies, as well as tips and tricks that are needed to be more compliant with your at-home workforces. I want to take a quick minute before we get started and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the Army industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, offers a number of exciting podcasts, and manages a Slack channel for the Army industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Darren Bird is the Executive Vice President at TCN, a leading provider of cloud-based call center technology for enterprises, contact centers, BPO, and collection agencies worldwide. Within his role, Darren is responsible for overseeing all business operations, establishing best practices across sales and account management teams, and driving execution. With more than 20 years of experience in the IT and software industry, Darren has a proven track record of building and mentoring high-performing teams, increasing capital, creating strategic plans, and implementing organizational structure. Jesse Bird is the co-founder and chief technology officer at TCN. In his role, Jesse spearheads the software development, implementation, and execution of TCN's voice over internet protocol and call center technology while leading the company's strategic direction and global expansion. Since co-founding TCN, Jesse has played a vital role in establishing and developing what has now turned into a global multi-million dollar technology company. Jeremy Mapes is founder and president of Mapes Consulting, which is one of the very few vendors previously endorsed by ACA International as a preferred vendor, and senior executive to Agent Z LLC. Jeremy has more than 24 years of experience in the Army industry and has successfully headed operations and technology for companies from large to small, and has consulted to and supported well over 100 collection agencies and creditors on technology, automation, telephony, operations, and information security management, as well as consulting directly to multiple receivable software vendors. Bryce Payne spearheads all global partner and channel efforts at TCN. With more than 20 years of experience in the telecommunications industry, Bryce has significantly contributed to the company's rapid growth by successfully building partnerships across multiple industries and acquiring new customers globally. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing and when the discussion has concluded. To submit a question, please either enter it into the Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel or send it in via the chat module. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net. With that, let's launch into our discussion. So first, maybe let's get a sense of how our panel would assess the response from companies in the credit collection industry, like TCN, to the challenges put forth by the coronavirus pandemic. And maybe Jesse, you wouldn't mind kicking us off?
Sure. So I think in general, my interaction has been primarily with clients that run on TCN. And clients that run on TCN are pretty familiar already with how flexible it can be. So for a lot of our clients, there's been a pretty seamless transition moving from at home to, or from at office to at home agents. But there's a lot of, I think, questions up in the air about, you know, whether they should be changing some of their communication strategies, how they should be managing their agents at home, what sort of tools they can use to make sure their agents are staying compliant. But in general, I think that most companies are doing as well as can be expected, considering all of the world, how it's kind of going. I think in general, you know, the way Douglas Adams has put it, they've all successfully navigated the first part of a crisis, which is they didn't panic. So
one of the things that I've seen is, you know, in talking to some of the agencies, a lot of them had disaster recovery plans in place, but some of them had never really actually tried to truly implement them. And those that had, it was a fairly seamless move for them because they'd already worked with agents at home, already kind of gone through the challenges they stumbled, and others just had kind of written policies but never really put them into place. And of course, they found it a lot more challenging for them to stumble across all the equipment issues and things that they'd run into with laptops and other aspects of it.
And usually,
so this is Jeremy.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, this is.
Go, Jeremy.
A little crosstalk there. Yeah, this is Jeremy. Yeah, so I've seen from many different agencies on many different platforms, you know, that they've run into all kinds of problems. And currently, I actually was in some discussions yesterday on some different group chats. You know, agencies have taken different standpoints. Several, you know, we got to stay in business, kind of keep working. Some think that they're dead in the water. Do they keep going? What are they doing about it? And if you're at that point right now, you're in trouble and you need to really consider, hey, if you're going to stay a receivables company and keep working a collection agency, BPO or whatever, that you need to be doing something now. And obviously everybody's either, you know, figured out that they need to be moving into the home offices as much as possible, or they're trying to figure out how to do it still. Some I still see out there. And I think the ones that had the biggest problem getting into home offices were ones that had premise-based collection solutions as opposed to cloud collection software, trying to figure out how that they were going to get that. If they're not IT experts, how are we going to get that out to our home-based offices? Two, they were worried about security and information, and they're like, okay, so if we do get them out there, how do we make sure that we're protected? Are we complying with HIPAA law, you know, and all the different laws out there besides the normal federal laws and state laws? And then at the same time, how do we monitor them? You know, are they doing work? Are they grabbing a candy bar and playing with the kids? What's going on? So that's a lot of the challenges, or several of the main challenges I've heard come out of people's mouth. Now, I've sat on several attorneys' forums recently, as most of us have, and we've heard them say, yes, you can do it, you know, obviously with the buts, but you need to make sure X, Y, and Z. Yes, you can work from home. So then that comes in, how are we going to do it? You know, can we get our software out there? Some, it amazes me today that there's still agencies out there that actually are still tin key dialing, using a standard phone to dial their phone numbers every time. And you could get away with it before the coronavirus up to this point. They could still stay in business and be able to work without any special telephony and special expertise. They're sending letters and manually dialing. Well, I think in pandemics like this, that's actually caused them to rethink it. You're not going to want to shortchange your telephony. And if you're doing 10-key dialing, you're in trouble, because how are you going to get the volumes out there to be able to make contact to individuals if you're not looking at using some type of telephony to assist you? And then secondly, what the other channels, or what we might call omni-channels, as far as other ways to make contact to consumers out there. So there's a lot of things people are digging with and trying to get themselves set up and working. And the biggest problem with that is the feedback to their clients, because if you're, say, medical collections, what are you telling your clients? Because as a lot of us know, they've been in the industry for a long time, when things like this hit, the customers come to you and they say, hey, what are you doing to handle the pandemics? And if you say, I don't know, then they're going to dictate to you what to do. And that's the worst case scenario, because they may say, you know, we're going to hang up our receivables for a while. We're going to, you know, because obviously you don't have a plan in place. So what are you creating for a plan to take care of that? What's your action items to keep us running, but make sure that we have an empathetic solution that doesn't put us at risk as far as people getting a negative connotation of our operations? You know, so how do we do that? And actually, what agencies, I think, forgot for a moment is, we've been working with hardship cases since the beginning of time. Pandemic's no different than what we've dealt with before. It's just that we have more of it going on, so we have to handle larger volumes to get through. And we have to come up with new ideas as far as how we handle the ones that are temporarily unemployed. That's really the new case scenario here. You know, how do we status those accounts? So I've kind of given a lot here. I'll let people comment more. But, you know, that's what I think a lot of people are still struggling with at this point, even though they may be either off the ground or in between. They're still trying to get through that process to get themselves switched over.
I would just add one comment that, in working with our clients and the different sales and account management teams that we have throughout the country, it hasn't been the large things that for the most part, that our clients have struggled with. It's kind of like showing up for a meeting, preparing for a meeting for 2 weeks, and you show up and you forgot your pen to take notes. And so here you are scrambling around your book bag or your briefcase or your purse looking for a pen, although you've been preparing for this meeting for about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And same thing with some of these things here. It's oftentimes it's been the smaller things, you know. I'll say headsets, maybe not a small thing, but we've had a handful of clients that one of the biggest bottlenecks has been getting the headsets working set up at their home offices. It wasn't the laptops, wasn't the software. It was, wow, we had to go out and purchase 100 new headsets. And headsets are usually easy to get, but when everybody's trying to buy them or purchase them, they're oftentimes a little bit more complicated or harder to procure. And so, again, it's sometimes it's the small things. It's, hey, we're going on vacation and we're getting the car, we're ready to go. We've been planning, but who brought the directions? So just as you go through your inventory of, hey, what are some little bottlenecks or what are some things? It's usually the big things that we're all good at checking off. It's some of those little things that we sometimes overlook that have slowed us down or that have been a little bit of a, wow, I never thought of that. So I would just, as you're looking at your inventory or looking where you're, as you're doing things, one of the things that a couple of our clients have told us is, wow, it's the small things that we took for granted that when it came time, we had all the other stuff in line. It was a headset, or it was a, you know, I forgot the pen and in the middle of the meeting kind of a deal. So.
Yeah. That I heard a feedback from someone, Darren, as you mentioned, they found a small group of the agents that had no internet connection at all at their house. And so that, you know, they had to scramble to deal with that. That's something they just didn't even realize until they tried to implement it.
Yeah. And you can think outside the box. I'll give you another example and then we'll move on. Is we have an extremely large opportunity client in India, and in India, the infrastructure is a little bit different than here in the US, but they thought outside the box and they couldn't procure enough laptops for 750 agents to get home. And so, but all their agents had smartphones. And so they were able to log into the platform on their smartphone through the soft phone and then brought up the TCN interface on their phone. And so they have agents doing everything right now off of a smartphone at home. And so, cause they're, so they're able to log in and go in through their internet or through their networks in India. But again, so people have just been very, very creative. And so like Jeremy was saying, you know, sometimes we're just trying to just operate and function and do, and make sure we can stay in business. We may not be doing everything idealistic as if we're in the office, but we're switching up. We're being very, very agile and dynamic and moving forward and getting those businesses. So,
right.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Go ahead, Mike.
This is Jesse. So one of the things that I think that a lot of agencies or a lot of customers are finding as they're moving things to at-home work environments is they are finding they need to be a lot more flexible. I mean, I've worked with a number of clients that wanted all their agents to connect in via the VPN and then go back out over the office internet and these sorts of things. And just that sort of level of control wasn't possible anymore. So I think as you move your agents at home, you're gonna have to deal with the fact that there is a little bit less control. You're not controlling their environment. You're not controlling their workspace as closely. And so you're gonna have to be more flexible. Remember, it's not the same, but at the same time, it is the same. I mean, you're still in the same business. You're still doing fundamentally the same job. And one of the things that any sort of crisis will do is create some amount of focus in that you need to be better. You need to be faster. You need to be more efficient. You're going to have constrained resources, both from a time and a materials point of view. And so let's think about, as you're moving these agents home, is how are you going to get more done with less and focus on the essentials? I mean, you want to monitor your agents. Well, you've already been monitoring your agents for a long time. You know, how much do they collect? How much do they work? How many calls do they take? And so you can probably have to do a lot more data-driven report and analysis, because you're not going to have that tactical feedback that you get from walking around a floor and viewing your agents. I assume most people hire good people, and they assume that their people have good intentions. And you're gonna have to work with that as the starting point, I believe, and then really, really dig into the data. So I think that if you can dig into your reports and monitor who's doing what, when, how their calls are deemed, what are the responses, these sorts of things, you're gonna maybe even find that you manage a little bit more effectively, because it's a purely data-driven. So assume that your people are good and then make data-driven decisions and that should enable you to be a little bit more flexible. Remember, it's not the same, but it is the same. And even though your resources are constrained, if you focus in on the things that are important, I think you'll be able to manage your teams really, really effectively.
Excellent. Good start. We've got a question that's come in, so I'm going to ask that and use that as an opportunity to remind everybody, if you have a question for our panel, you can either hit the Q&A button on your Zoom webinar control panel and type it in that way, or send it to us via the chat module, and we'll get it asked during the remaining time. Our question, I guess, is open to anybody on the panel, is how do most agents that work from home dial? Is it by click to dial from a list of phone numbers generated by the strategy team? Does anyone want to take that one?
Yeah, so this is Jesse again. I'm finding two things is one, it's not the same. So some people are generally changing their strategy a little bit. There's a lot of states that have rules. Massachusetts and Nevada come to mind immediately about the types and times that you are allowed to be calling people during this period of time. And so it is really important that you stay compliant and update your compliance rules and make sure that your system is flexible to have even daily changes to those compliance rules. But if you're using the TCN platform, you're able to make sure that your agents are only making the right calls at the right times, whether you're previewing them or manually dialing them, or you can present them the right calls to make at the right time. And so I think for a lot of people, that's sort of as unchanged. I mean, their agents are making and taking calls at the same time, in the same way that they were before. One of the things that I think that we should be aware of, and Jeremy touched on this a little bit, is that a lot of agencies are dealing with a lot more hardship calls, and you probably are finding that you're getting a lot more inbound calls asking for these sorts of relief. One of the interesting things that I've been finding as I'm running the TCN infrastructure is I have a lot of communications with different carriers, and they're reporting a huge number of increase in call volumes. And one of the things that Verizon put out a little while ago is on Monday, they received, their network made 800 million calls, which is more than twice the number of calls that they made on Mother's Day. So there's a huge amount of voice communication still going on. And I think that we got to be mindful of that and managing our inbound and our outbound. And maybe we're going to be doing a little bit less outbound and a little bit more inbound fielding hardship calls, but we got to be, I mean, people are reaching out in these channels in order to, you know, find solutions to some of their issues. And we got to be willing to help them that way.
So this is Jeremy. So to kind of touch on that as well, as far as the original question, I find that if people have the right telephony solution out there, they're making campaigns just like they're doing in the office. It's just that now it's a remote extension, because the way they're getting into these campaigns were the same way they were at the office. There's a dial-in. The perfect scenario for my clients that I've seen, medium, large, and even small, that are doing this now, is they actually have their agent working out of the dialing solution or the telephony solution all day long. As far as they're concerned, that's basically their ticket as far as the person doing work. And this could have been in the office too. The big thing is even some of these people, before they had to be remotely out, they were in the office. And I found companies that had a hard time trying to figure out how much of the day their people were working as opposed to doing something else. And so one of the great things with the telephony strategy that's using a company like TCN that I've seen and I've witnessed through this and other companies is that they can set up statuses. So it's 8 o'clock, your person's in, they're ready to go to work per se, and they get in the dialer. Now, when I say dialer, we're using that wideband. We're not saying it's an automated dialer, maybe a manual dial solution where you have the dial to click. But what they're doing is they're getting into that, and that's where they basically clock in. If they've got to have a meeting before things start, you actually status. So they'll status as in meeting, and you can manually set up the statuses, you know, as many statuses as you need, in meeting, out to lunch, on break, this or that. So that way you can actually start to bring into your reports what were the people doing for 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever the amount of time that was they're working, maybe part-time 4 hours. Were they actually taking calls? Were they on your campaigns? Were they working manual calls? Were they taking inbound calls? Were they out to lunch on break? You know, why is, you know, if somebody's, especially in home offices, it's more easy to do, especially since some of these people are in home offices because, you know, before we were forced to be in home offices, they had kids and, you know, are the kids taking them away every now and then? So what's the status for that? You know, away, you know, are you going to pay them for the times that they're away? If they're on an hourly rate plus commission or just on a straight hourly rate. So I think that's one of the nice things about a single solution telephony. So a solution is that you have a way to status what they're doing at the time, and then you can still drive them in. You can still force them into your home people that they're working on the campaigns and the right thing at the right time. And if you do leave it open to them to choose what they want, you can see that in your reports and then make changes with your staff based upon that process. I think one of the big things with people is, how do we blend calls into our home staff? Well, if you're having to run to a home office situation, hopefully your telephony solution, like TCN has available, you're having those calls pushed into your telephony solution. And the way that works is it gets redirected into somebody like TCN. Those calls come in blended along with the outbound calls they're making, so they can pick those at home up on a, you know, from a single source. And if for some reason, let's say it's 5 o'clock in the day or 9 o'clock or whatever your time is, once they get off and there's nobody on the campaigns or that are signed into your telephony solution, at that point, that goes back into your office. So your office may not have anybody there, maybe go to voice recording, but whatever it is. But that's just inbound routing solutions that are very simple for companies like TCN and other telephony solutions to perform.
You know, for as a cloud-based solution, you know, a lot of the things will transfer directly over from a home-based agent. It's just a browser-based system, a headset to the computer. So it's as if they were sitting next to each other in the office. So caller ID information is still the same as it was if they were in the home at the office based. So a lot of those settings still remain the same. So it makes it a real easy transition.
You know, one thing I've happened to see at some offices is, or I've been told by some offices, Jeremy, I just cannot get I've got a premise-based collection solution, and I just can't get it out to my own people. I don't have the resources. I don't have the ability. I can't find a tech group that can get it out. What can I do? You know, one thing I would look at for those situations is, you know, consider that you could actually put all the data they need to collect the call into a telephony solution. Now, I've examined TCN solution, and there's a couple things in there that I like about it. One is the fact that it's got a scripting capability. When we talk about scripting, that can be many different connotations. What we're talking about scripting here is you can actually have a dialogue that the staff can follow with a tree kind of process. So, you know, you can have their mini Miranda script in there. You can have what they're going to do next, and if it goes refusal to pay or if it goes to whatever, you can actually have them go all through that process. So I like that, the ability to drive them. But the big part to this is there's an ability to put all the data you need into that call so that they can, people out there that cannot get their collection database solution to be able to come in over a VPN tunnel or remote desktop or whatever, you could consider using a telephony solution like this where all the data is coming into say TCN, and then they're able to take those calls and work it strictly off the telephony solution. And then that data can be updated at the end of the day or many times a day, or depending on what kind of connectivity you have that updated back to the host system so that we have a complete record. You got your voice recordings, you got everything you need, and you're still working there even if you can't get your collection software across. That happens in some situations I've seen.
Okay, excellent. Good advice. Wanted to, there's a couple more questions here in the queue that I'd like to get to before we move on. We did also get a comment from someone who said, I want to say that TCN has made the whole getting agents working from home a very simple task. Zero degradation of productivity, major props. So that's good news. A question about what will be displayed on the caller ID for the work from home agent with so many apps for call labeling. Are there any issues in overcoming the problem of having calls being mislabeled?
Jesse, you want to take that, Jesse?
Yeah, sure. So one of the big things, I mean, the mislabeling of caller IDs or for basically falling under the purview of like wide and indiscreet call blocking and labeling has been kind of an industry problem. It's kind of been a problem across the board. And I know that it's sort of a problem that's created by bad actors, usually not even in the United States, making lots and lots and lots of phone calls illegally into the United States. But when you use TCN, the caller ID that's shown would be the same caller ID that's shown when you're always using TCN, whether your agents are at home or in the office. You're still going to be able to show your company's caller ID. And there's a lot of strategies that you can do. There's TCN has different partners that help manage caller ID reputation and these sorts of things. But ultimately, the solution to that mislabeling problem is going to be a full implementation of the STIR/SHAKEN protocol that the FCC has been pushing. And I actually think that's going to be something that's really, really good for the industry on a whole, because it looks like legitimate and good actors are going to be able to get their calls authenticated using the STIR/SHAKEN protocol, and carriers will not be blocking those calls as often, and hopefully not ever. I mean, and TCN has been very, very active in the process with the FCC, with the regulatory boards, we've made comments and had meetings with our attorneys have had meetings, and we've lobbied the chairman and his staff at the FCC in order to try to make this as good as possible for good actors, which means hopefully at the end of this, if you have a call and it's placed and it's authenticated using STIR/SHAKEN, that call will not be blocked. And that's kind of the end goal of this. And that STIR/SHAKEN, because bad actors will not be able to authenticate their calls. So really, that's kind of a loaded problem, a loaded question. That question is not going to, that issue is not really going to go away. But we're going to make it so that your agents can use the same caller IDs that they always are using, and you'll be able to manage the reputation on that. We have tools that help you manage the reputation now. So if that's a problem, we can connect and try to work that. But overall, I think that the STIR/SHAKEN protocol will probably be a big improvement. And TCN is right on top of that. We're going to be probably the first, if not one of the first, if not the very first. My goal is to be the very first cloud contact center solution that has every call fully signed using the STIR/SHAKEN protocol.
Okay, excellent. Thanks for the answer. Moving on, I'm curious, we're talking about security, technology, compliance today. From a company perspective, what are the priorities that companies in the credit collection industry should have relative to those topics? Jeremy, maybe you want to kick us off this time? Jeremy?
Oh, sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry about that. So one of the things that's always brought to me is information security. It's part of my background. So what do we do? Is voice recording enough? Are we voice recording? And actually, that kind of leads into something we were just previously talking about. I was listening to one of these COVID calls just yesterday on a different call, and they brought up to a group of attorneys, what about if we have our agents use their cell phones? Well, they were talking about using their cell phones directly and not through a telephony solution. And the problem was, and they said, yeah, it's legal. And matter of fact, the caller ID is legit, so you don't have any problems there. But the problem was, we don't have a call recording. We don't know what they did. If they do have a call where somebody does the wrong thing, or you're even just outright accused, the company is outright accused that they cussed at them or did anything that could break the law, now the company doesn't have a recording of what occurred. So the first thing I think about when people are working out of their home remotely is call recording, number one. Number two is, how do I control their screen if I can? And not that I want to necessarily control their PC. And that's what a lot of companies have gone to. I actually know of an agency recently that bought over 500 laptops for all their agents to work remotely, which is great if you got the money to spend like that, and that Dell or whoever can turn that around for you on a dime. But what if you have to work with the foreign stations they have at home, and you're worried about viruses getting into it and getting on your environment? That's where remote desktop solutions help a lot, so that you can control still your office. You know what they could do as far as office, or like we talked about, or I talked about before, where you're using the telephony solution specifically, and using a web agent with a telephony solution. You know that keeps it so that there you don't have to worry about viruses. You don't have to worry about hacking, that somebody could get into your database and hack your database and do those type of things. Those solutions can help you work on a foreign machine without having to bring laptops to everybody. So we worry about workstation, we worry about telephony, and we worry about who's in the room. Some companies are going as far to verify that the agents, they have somebody come by their house and that they have a room that they could work in. I suggest, and this is not from an attorney, so it's not legal advice, but if it was me running or owning the operation, I would want to put an addendum in the contract that they never worked remotely from home before, some type of addendum that they must have a private location, especially if you're doing healthcare, like you got HIPAA compliance that you need to deal with, that they're doing it in a workspace that is contained, that does not have traffic going through it, that nobody is allowed to read their screen, that they can't have third parties come in and read their screen or pick up information. They're responsible for that. You might even put in there, even if you may never do it, put in there that you have a right to view the room that they're in through the camera if you ask them or you randomly do so. And people say, well, we're never going to view the room. Well, the thing is, maybe you need to. Maybe you've got a wild card out there that you don't know about. You know, and at the front of the addendum, you're saying, hey, it's going to be a contained room. You know that you're going to be doing our work, and as far as it's concerned, it's company business. So that room is an extension of our company now. So, you know, those things I worry about, the workstation, the telephony environment, they're being able to record the calls, and some type of control over what their room environment is going to be. They don't have cross traffic coming through there that might be able to pick up a social security number or address or any other information that might put you in problematic with your clients over a loss of information.
Appreciate that, Jeremy. And some other things that I've seen in my communications with the floors is, you know, of course, in regards to PCI compliance, trying to figure out ways to reduce the concern with them getting credit card information while they're sitting at home. You know, some of the things that we're helping them with is where the agent can send while they're on the call with the consumer, they can send them a text with a link that opens up a payment portal, and they can make the payment right there while they're on the phone with the consumer. And then the agent is not hearing, collecting, the call recording's not getting any sort of credit card information during the call. So it helps reduce that in ways. In talking to one of the call centers that I spoke with, they utilize a Bluefin keypad that's encrypted that allows them to enter in information, keeps it encrypted. So there's some solutions out there that'll help reduce that. And just one thing that you mentioned that you're talking about, just keeping traffic down and everything. Another thing that we've been able to help people with is we have a noise cancellation software that can load on their computer that will eliminate background noise, kids, things, clicking on the keyboards and stuff on their end. And it also eliminates noise on the consumer's end as well at the same time. So just some additional software and solutions to help reduce some of these new problems they're facing while they're at home.
Bryce, I actually think one thing you mentioned in your conversation that maybe new to the industry, and it's not new as a whole to the industry, but something that's a new solution that you're putting out there that piques my interest is the ability to take payments without having to have the payment talked to the consumer directly, that the agent's not hearing the payment come over the phone, that you can click a button and, you know, they say, okay, I want to make a payment. And you say, okay, let me send you a text link or let me send you a link so you can make that payment securely. And a lot of things that come up these days is, I know I get this if somebody called me to give you an example, NRA. Hey, we want to re-up your status with the NRA. I'm not going to do that by phone. I don't want to give out my information over the phone to an agent who could take it down and I don't know where they exist. But if I have a secure method and somebody says, you know, we've got a secure method for that, so you're not just giving it to me over the phone where I can hear it, but I've got a secure method where we can transmit you an official link to be able to make that payment. I think that's a great thing. And to be able to lower the compliance level, to lower the risk in the office, not having to have those agents be speaking the the Visa card or whatever they may use, that's a great new thing that I think a lot of people really like and want to hear more about.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that really helps. And you know, like you say, not only just reducing the PCI compliance, but giving a little bit of that comfort, whether you send it to in a text or maybe even you can send it by email with that same link and it opens up that payment portal. So it gives them that level of comfort in addition to increasing your PCI compliance.
One of the things that you need to remember as you're moving your agents to home is that you need to be a little bit more flexible. You are going to have a lot less control over that agent. So you need to make sure that you can trust these people. You got to be able to trust but verify what they're doing. So if they're using a telephony system, you should enable call recordings on all their calls. You should have your supervisors do barge-ins on their calls, not to participate in the call, but just to monitor what the agent is doing. You should be building reports so that you can track the number of calls that the agents did, the number of payments they took, the number of responses they recorded. And you should have the agents be recording a little bit more information about each one of these calls. As for a security point of view, Jeremy talked a little bit about this, but when you're using a secure site over the internet, like an HTTPS site, you're in a large part removing the risk of the agent's computer. I mean, because when you use TCN over the internet, there's basically just that web channel. I mean, if they have viruses and things on their computer, you might not be able to control for that, but you can control for that a lot by making sure that you're not running any installed software. You're just doing everything over the internet, and all you need to worry about is that they have a clean browser and that sort of stuff. As for controlling who's in the room or monitoring via the cameras, I mean, if you can get away with that, maybe that would be a good idea, but I'm not sure that that's even going to be plausible for a lot of agencies and a lot of agents. So just remember that you need to be flexible. It's not going to be totally the same, but it's going to be the same as much as is possible if you're using good technology that allows you to be flexible. So that would be kind of my two cents on that.
A couple of things. A couple other things that I've been working with some of the agencies in implementing to help through this process is, you know, getting screen recording set up. So now they kind of have a view, a little bit better view into what's happening, what the agent is doing. And also a real-time agent guidance software that while the agent is speaking, it's monitoring both sides of the conversation and will pop up suggestions of what the agent should say based on the response from the consumer in real time. So instead of, since the floor managers aren't there to kind of hear what's going on and be walking right on the floor, it gives them some real-time guidance right there in the call with suggested responses and everything. So there's a lot of software and tools out there to kind of help in this process. And, you know, if people have questions about that, we can help you along with that as well.
You know, two things I was going to say to the previous comment was, one was having to do with like I was talking about, an addendum to say that you could look in the room. Actually, that's kind of the locked doors are for honest people scenario. Most companies are never going to do that. What it really is for the agent, so that when the agent sees that in the addendum, they go, oh my goodness, they could look. They could check in on us. So usually it kind of puts it in the back of people's minds, hey, you know, I might be checked. The other part where you're talking about, you know, and one thing I think people don't normally use in their offices half the time that I see is the barge solution you're talking about. Barge and monitoring, you know, they may monitor what the agents are doing. If they got a large office, they may listen in on the calls, but the barge option I see is rarely used. Well, now that they're working from home, I see that as a much more common use that comes up based on the fact that, you know, now that they're home office, you're listening, supervisor needs to get involved, they can barge in to that call and be able to take over if they need to. So I think that's that becomes so much more useful when you're looking at a home office environment.
Hey, Mike, can we make sure, I know there's a few questions coming in. And we got about 10, 12 minutes left, or maybe about 20 minutes left. So I want to make sure we get through. And there's a couple more points. I also want to make sure we get through the questions that the audience is asking as well.
Absolutely. I was going to take a break for a second and try and address some of those. Specifically, we got one here. Someone asking for advice. We're going to set up employees' PCs in their homes from the office, VPN into our network, and use Google Voice as their phones and route those numbers through our dialer. Does this sound like a good solution? Does anyone want to offer a thumbs up or thumbs down and some advice?
I would say Jesse can chime in on the technology side, but I would just say quickly that a lot of...
This is Jesse. I wouldn't do it that way. I mean, you're just basically putting in a bunch of hops, and unless there's a requirement to connect into the VPN at your network, because I wouldn't do it, especially if you're already using a cloud service like Google Voice as their phones. I don't really see the need to set up all your agents with a VPN unless you're requiring them to connect to some service that's in your office, only in your office. And if that were the case, I would set up the VPN for that service specifically and then use cloud services for other things so that you can reduce the number of hops and the number of points of failure in your infrastructure. So if it were me and I were recommending you, I would say I would have your agents log into a system like TCN and use that for their telephony software. And then I would set up the VPN with the routing only for those services that are in office only. So if you have an on-prem collection management software or an on-prem payment portal that you need the agents to access, because these are already company computers, I would set up the VPN and the routing for that portion of the service only.
This is Jeremy. Yeah, from a security standpoint, using Google Voice, I agree, is an extra hop. And the problem with extra hops is, one is voice compression. A lot of times it makes the quality of the call less. And that's where you get extra long pauses. That's where you get garbledy goop that comes up in calls. So I tend to avoid that. I think with a lot of telephony solutions out there, and I think TCN is probably the same way, guys, you can say what's best, is the two solutions I see is some offices are actually putting in, if they're going to take the time to put in a PC for them or a laptop that they're going to use, they may also buy a voice over IP phones that are much more quality on those calls, or that they need to route it into their VPN tunnel, or they're going to actually let them use their cell phone. Cell phone may have a great quality, but that cell phone's not going to call the person directly. It's going to tie into the telephony solution. It's going to dial into, say, a TCN solution, or if you have an office-based solution, it's going to tie into that office solution, and this is where cloud is always better, but it ties into that solution. So you've got a direct line call and minimize the jump points in between. I would tend to hedge against using the Google Voice.
Okay, good advice. Another question. Let's see here. Are there concerns for taking payments and staying PCI compliant? I know we've talked a little bit about that, but I wanted to address this question specifically and see if that anybody had any insights they wanted to share.
Hey, so this is Jesse again. I'm just going to talk about how it's not the same, but it's still the same again. So you got to remember that you're going to have to be flexible. You're in the business of helping people manage the revenue cycle management, revenue cycles, doing collections, this sort of stuff. So you are going to collect payments. I would try to make sure that you have alternates for payments. If you have, whether it's an IVR or an online payment portal that frees up agent time and, you know, allows people to do agentless collections. But sometimes you're going to collect payments over the phone, and if your agents can't do that, maybe you don't have the same ability to do your job. One of the big risks with the PCI is what they call the CDE, the card data environment. And one of the risks that people have is if they explode out into work from home areas, they're probably nervous about making every single agent home part of the card data environment. So some of the ways that you do to minimize this is you should use cloud solutions as much as possible, because then they're not technically part of the cloud data environment. So you should not be installing payment gateways on agent workstations. You should be doing that over, whether it's a VPN back to the office or whether that's a cloud-based service. And then you should make sure that you install controls on the agent system so that you can pause the call recordings while you're collecting payments, pause the call recording when the agents are maybe entering into the payment portal, the cloud payment portal that they have. I mean, there are some risks there and some things that you can do to mitigate, but just make sure there's a lot of things that are pretty easy that you can do to do some controls. And I think that in crisis mode, what you do is you focus on the things that you can control and that you need to control. And one of the things is that you need to control is how card data is handled. So make sure that you're not recording calls when you should, you're not storing card data when you shouldn't, and you give some agentless options as much as is possible.
Okay, excellent. Thanks for the information. Jeremy, this is something you addressed a little bit earlier, but a specific question. Have agencies been advising their at-home agents to move away from or to turn off Amazon's Alexa while they're making and taking calls?
To move away from, I didn't catch part of that. To move away from?
Amazon's Alexa, their Echoes.
Oh, so yeah, so a lot of those telephony solutions and so forth is, you know, going to have compression problems. Matter of fact, that what people don't understand is if you go through a phone system, and matter of fact, if you're using something that's through the computer, you're kind of at the whim of your voice card. Do you have a good voice card in your computer? Do you not? Do you, you know, there's like a dozen different things that can go wrong besides the compression connecting there. And if the bandwidth gets tight, you know, maybe you're in a home office and everybody's using the internet. So you've got streaming going on in the front room. You've got you trying to work. You've got, you know, they're playing movies on Netflix. And not only the compression, but then there's no prioritization in home routers. So voice streams can get all scrambled up. So the big part to that is when you want to have somebody working from home, I recommend that they actually use a lot of people don't have landlines today, but that they have, infinite minutes that they can use on their phone, and their phones usually have very good quality. So I would stay away from the streaming through the phone, through the computer. I would tend to steer towards using a home phone or a cell phone, but have that going into a telephony solution. So whether they're dialing into the office, or they're dialing into a TCN solution, that the it's connecting into a telephony solution directly. You know, if you've got laptops going out, then you can control some of that and you can test it. But you're still at the whim of the bandwidth and what they're going to run into at the home office as far as that capability. So you want to make sure they, obviously, at least that they have high-speed internet. They don't have to have gigabit internet, but they need to have something like cable internet or AT&T internet, something of size that can handle the bandwidth. And you want to make sure that they have a good quality connection, test it before you actually get them out there talking to consumers live. And then if there's a problem with that, then pass them back over to the cell phone as a secondary solution that can be either dialed into or it can be connected into the telephony solution.
Yeah. So I think the question was about, though, whether or not they want their agents to be near Alexa systems or Google
right.
systems. And one of the things that I would say, and this is just me being a little paranoid, is I would probably recommend your agents definitely remove those systems. I mean, you just don't even want that risk. So I would say remove them from the room. And I mean, in general, most home consumer internet is good enough for voice connectivity. And especially if it's only a single agent, a single channel. And if it's not, you can always fall back to cell phones or other services.
Oh, yep. Okay. That's probably a better answer. When I was thinking Alexa, I was thinking Alexa. Okay, yes. Yeah, I wouldn't have anything that could record it outside of that or anything that would respond. I agree.
Got it. Someone else wanted to sort of share a setup or comments about a setup and wanted to put it out there and get any feedback from the panel. And it is, if you use VoIP phones, whether you utilize a service to manage your VoIP phones or have an IT department that manages it, it would be easier for collectors to be able to plug and play their phones into an Ethernet port. The VoIP service would then record all phone calls in and out, and it would be easier for the collector to set up. That is more of a twofold problem, since most collectors aren't as IT savvy as they might think. the more routing or the use of more than one router could impede the collector's productivity trying to get that system set up. That's my two cents. Does anyone want to offer any comments on that?
Yeah.
This is Jeremy. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say limit the amount of stuff that you put into your agent's home. That's why I would suggest use the TCN integrated soft phone, log in, and let it all handle itself, right? So I know that there are a lot of VoIP solutions that, you know, in theory, you can send home their desk phone and they can plug it in to any Ethernet port and the phone will auto register and this sort of stuff. So in theory, it works every time. In practice, it doesn't. That's kind of my two cents on that. And the more infrastructure that you're outsourcing to your agent's home, the more problems that you're going to have. So I would simplify it as much as possible. If you're going to send your agent home with anything like a phone or something, hoping to make it simpler, it probably won't make it simpler. It'll probably make it more complicated. So every agent knows how to use a computer, knows how to use a browser. They don't need to install anything. Let them. And then you're not outsourcing the infrastructure to your agent. You're outsourcing it to vendors that do this all of the time. Just let your agents log in on the browser and go to work.
So one thing to consider on that, when you're talking about sending them home with a voice over IP phone to connect, if you're creating a VPN tunnel for them to get to, is a lot of people with their home internet are Wi-Fi. So it's coming into like a cable router, then going to Wi-Fi router, and then that's streaming to wherever you're at. A lot of time your home offices are not going to be in the same room as that connection. So are they going to have to go out and find a cable that's going to go 50 feet to their room? That's probably not the case. So this is where agencies have to, you know, have to be a little tech savvy or have somebody available that's a little tech savvy, because there's simple solutions for that, such as what's called a wireless bridge. So let's say you send them home with a phone that's got an Ethernet plug in on it that needs to connect. You can actually get a wireless bridge so that if their office is 80 feet or 100 feet away and they need to connect to the Wi-Fi router because there's no ports nearby, you can get one of those wireless bridges. They're cheap. And it can actually do the Wi-Fi connectivity to connect to their Wi-Fi channel. Be secure. It can have a secure connection between, so nobody can hit the Wi-Fi in between and be able to get the data coming across or the phone call. And then that way you can put that phone anywhere in the room, you know, without having to put a cable into it.
Excellent. Thank you for the information. A reminder, we've got about 5 minutes left. So it's probably going to be your last chance if you want to ask a question of the panel or share a scenario or get some advice. Type it into the Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel or send it through the chat, and we'll try and take care of it before we wrap up and run out of time today. We'd like to go around the panel. I know I've done a lot of these webinars. There's been a lot of great information that's been shared and a lot of coming together within the industry to sort of help figure out how to get through this. I'd like to maybe get some specific examples of how you've helped or how you've heard call centers and agencies either get set up to have employees, collectors work from home, or been able to scale their businesses during this time.
I can give a couple. This is Darren. I'll give a couple quick examples, and you probably have I've heard a lot of different examples as you talk to your different colleagues and different agency owners and friends. But as we talked about today, one of the strengths of the TCN platform is its ability to be agile. And whether you're in the office or whether you're working from home, you're logging into the browser, the system set up so compliance stays consistent. You know, one of the questions, what comes first, security, compliance, other types of things. And although security is there, you know, I think compliance can never be second. It always has to be at the top. With your TCN system being set up already, the security and the compliance piece is already there. So we've had healthcare companies that have managed to move their entire groups, 25 different hospitals, move their groups, their call centers out into their homes to handle the influx of inbound phone calls. We've had 8 call centers that have mainly been outbound turned to inbound, setting up inbound IVRs and call routing to their agents. We're seeing a big need right now of just what a lot of us used to do and is automated voice messaging. And getting those proactive calls out to their consumers or their customers, just notifying them of maybe working hours or other types of things like that. And so we've had large and small call centers that have 10 to 5 different offices, 300 agents moving over within 72 hours. We've had small ones that have moved, you know, 5 or 10 agents over. So regardless of the size or the location, we've seen a lot of great success. And one of the things we've seen too is people asking a lot of questions. And so when you ask a lot of questions, you get a lot of good answers, not only from your vendors, but also from your agents and, you know, getting feedback from them on what's working and what's not working. You're seeing some processes and some things that people might have thought were really important that maybe weren't very important. They were just getting in the way of efficiency. And so I think we're going to hopefully, when we come out of this, we'll have learned a lot about our businesses, about some really important things and what works and what doesn't work, areas that we need to improve upon, areas that maybe we need to take back to the legislators and to help us improve upon our businesses and things, technologies that we might be needed. And so we've had a lot of great success stories. One of the things I think is very important, regardless of what vendor you use or what setup you use, is to have the proper amount of support from your vendors. And we at TCN try to pride ourselves on that with teams, with rapid response teams available for all of our clients through this time, running a 24-hour, 24/7 support role for our clients. And so we try to provide that peace of mind to our clients. And so that's just a couple success stories, whether it be healthcare in our publication divisions, in our financial services, whether it be in the United States or India or our Canadian operation or Australia or the UK. The process has been fairly simple. The same as far as getting people set up, although each operation is slightly different in what we had to do to accommodate their needs.
This is Jeremy. I want to take
a little bit of an interesting comment that I got back from one of the sales, or one of the floors, was that, you know, all these things are new, but they were surprised to find that even though people were working from home, they were still struggling with getting people to show up on time and still logging in 10 minutes late, even though they, you know, they have to work from one group to the next. So I thought that was kind of a funny comment.
Yeah. And I would say that kind of goes to what I've been sort of harping on, is that flexibility is key. It's not the same, but in a lot of ways, it's still the same. You're still gonna have some of the same problems. So focus in on the ways that you can manage your agents efficiently. And you might not be able to walk around and look at them and walk over their shoulder and, you know, tap them on the shoulder or smack them upside the head or whatever it is that you may do, but you have all of the data available to you to make smart, data-driven decisions efficiently. And I know that everyone hires good people, and people generally wanna do their best work. And so if you can provide them correct feedback, timely feedback, and show them that you're making data-driven decisions, I think that this is an opportunity for people to really improve the way that they manage their workforce.
This is Jeremy. I want to take just a moment to kind of dote on TCN for a moment, because I've been asked by a lot of telephony companies to have a relationship with them, to work with them, and honestly, I haven't set up a true relationship till now with TCN, because I didn't have enough time working with them, knowing them, and seeing what they were about, and actually, I've established, and by the way, I've never received a check from a vendor, anybody out there yet to date. But if anybody would like to send me one, I'll give you my mailing address. Please send. The reason why I really want to do this with TCN, and I appreciate them inviting me to this, was because, they've been around a long time. I've known the people over there, like Carrie Sherman, known for years, and they've always been around. They've been through hard times and good times with the agencies out there. But the real reason, I think, a lot of times that they're an opportunity over, say, a standard type of solution that might come from a collection vendor, database vendor, where they have an integrated solution, quote unquote, is a couple of things. One is because they can scale quicker. I've seen some of the trouble I've seen people run into with their collection system vendors is they can't scale quickly. They've got to wait to set up. And part of the scaling is IVR. So pandemic happens, you need to change your IVR infrastructure, and either you have to wait on them to do it and you have to pay them to do it, where with TCN, I've seen it where you can, you know, they can get you started real quick. At the same time, they do have self-service, so you can actually make simple modifications to your IVR, but they're there to help you if they need to be. Some of the other things I've seen out of them, and one of the most important things to me is they're not running, and this is where I'm talking to agency managers in as well, because I get to ask this all the time. They say, Jeremy, I'm going to be stuck into a 2-3-4 year contract with so-and-so, you know, and I don't know about this. What about scaling? You know, what if I need to back down? In the pandemic, a lot of people had to lay people off. Are you stuck on a 2-3 year contract where you have to maintain a certain level? The one of the things I like about TCN is they don't put you into a long-term contract. And at the same time, as compared to a lot of the integrated solutions out there, they cost less. So I challenge a lot of people out there. If you're looking at pinch and pennies, you may want to take a look at them. So, you know, without them prompting me, I just wanted to throw that out there. You should really compare whatever solution you're using or what you're thinking about doing. Give them a call and see what their solutions are in comparison and what their costs are in comparison, because you may be able to save yourself a lot of money and add to your arsenal as well. You know, the omni-channel things we're talking about. Are you able to text today? Are you able to email responses and so forth and add that into your arsenal effectively and be able to do it integrated through your company? This is things that they can talk to you about. So I just kind of want to put that out there.
Well said, Jeremy. We've run out of time. So on that note, I'm going to wrap things up. Bryce, Darren, Jeremy, Jesse, thank you so much for your time and your insights today. Really appreciate it. I know everybody's been crushed for time and running crazy, so that you were able to sort of take this time and helps, you know, share some insights and provide some information was really awesome. So thank you for that. Also want to thank TCN again for sponsoring today's event. Thanks to everybody who asked questions and participated. Really appreciate your continued support. I hope everyone stays safe. I hope everyone stays well, and I look forward to having you back soon for another AccountRecovery.net event. Thank you, everybody. Panel, thank you. Awesome job.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Mike.
Take care.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Be safe.